Father in heaven, we come to you and thank you again for this day, Lord, and thank you for the Sunday school hour. Lord, thank you for this precious book. We're here from the day. Without it, we would not know you like we know you. And we thank you for helping us understand that through the years. Lord, it's precious to us. And again, we ask tonight to give the, or this morning to give the anointing that's needed for your glory to help us understand God's plan. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Turn to 1 John chapter 1, if you will. This is the most simple, probably one of the most simple messages that I've ever preached. And I think it's necessary from time to time. For some, it'll be boring. For others, it'll be rehearsing. For some, it'll be that you can learn how to lead someone to the Lord. Maybe it'll be for someone today who will know to come to know the Lord Jesus as Savior. And the reason I think for this, some of it you've heard before. I hope it'll be fresh, though, as you hit that refresh button I was talking about this past Wednesday night. But we live in an age today that Jesus Christ is taught about just about every way possible except the way of life. He's been presented for self-help programs as if you don't even have to know him as Savior and you get these self-help programs. He's been presented, the word's been twisted to get people to think that they can literally bribe God. It's interesting, some preachers say, we're not talking about bribing God, but that's what they're trying to do. Very little said about Jesus Christ being the only way of life. I believe the first and foremost message of every Christian and every Bible-believing church is that Jesus Christ is the only way to have eternal life. I believe he's the only way to get to heaven. And I believe there's time that we need deep subjects. And by the way, on Wednesday night, we've been looking at some deep subjects. I believe in the singles class, we've been looking at a deep subject the last 5-6 weeks. But I believe there's a time that we have to come back to the basics. And this morning I pray that God would get me back to the basics to understand as I preach to you 4 Bible facts about salvation. 4 Bible facts about salvation. In 1 John chapter 1, let's read first of all verse 5, 6, and 7. John says this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. This then is the message which we have heard of him. John has said, I'm writing to you. And we declare, and I think this message fits in line with the Apostle Paul, when he said, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I may not know a lot of things, but one thing I do know, he is the Savior of this world. Because he's the Savior of my soul. And he said, this is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we fellowship with him and walk in darkness, watch this, we lie and do not the truth. And the reason you do not the truth, because you don't know the truth. And he lays it out in a format very carefully. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I don't know how in this world anyone that can say they believe the Bible or believe about Jesus Christ and can see anything else about him other than that he is the absolute Savior, absolute Son of God. He is the absolute truth about what God is doing in our day. And yet people mock him, laugh about it, say it's not necessary, he's a good man, that's all. Ladies and gentlemen, when everything in Christ, how can a person even name themselves to be a Christian and deny that Jesus Christ is not who he said he is? And John is trying to show us this. Justification in Christ, justification is what Christ has done for those who trust him. We see that through the scriptures, and John now is trying to set forth that there's another aspect of this if you truly say, and that is walking in the light. And walking in the light is a type of sanctification. Justification is what Jesus Christ has done for those who trust him. Sanctification is what he's doing for us now who are saved. We're letting him bring and set us apart so that others can see what Christ has done for us in justification. It's so important. The position in Christ must be translated into practice if others are going to see it. Just saying now I'm a Christian and not living like one is no good. Fact is a false pretense. One must, if they have the position as a child of God, born into the family of God, God requires us to translate that in practice so the world can see what he's given us and hopefully would want the same thing. Weeds grow up in by themselves. As a farmer, I know, as a farm boy, I should say, I know that. If you don't believe it, you lay a field out a little while and don't do anything to it, and it will cover it with weeds and trees. You don't have to plant a thing. And I'll tell you another thing. You have to plant crops. But if you plant it and don't till it and look after it, they'll take over that too. That's one thing I remember as a boy. You do not farm land and just leave it out. Unless you're farming trees or something, then you better be sure they're so high or they'll die the way things grow up in this particular life. Crops must be planted and tended to. And the same thing, God said this word is his seed. Peter tells us the incorruptible seed, which in turn is spread in Matthew 13. And it hits grounds and falls on some good ground. But God also knows that we who are saved, we need a cultivation of our hearts towards things in practice as we learn, so people can see that the seed is there and not see the weeds, spiritually speaking. And so this is what we see John is telling us here about the life. If we say that we have no sin, he said, we deceive ourselves and the truth not in us. Now look in chapter 5 just a moment and we'll get into the message. Chapter 5 verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, whosoever, a beautiful word. It incorporates anybody who will believe. That's what he's talking about here. If you hear the message, you believe. He says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. He's the anointed one. In Israel's case, he's the Messiah. In the world's case, he's the Savior of the world. He said, is born of God. So I said, well, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ. Wait a minute, there's more to it than just head knowledge. So I believe Jesus Christ was born and lived 2,000 years ago. Well, that's just history. That's not salvation. Did you know you can believe a lot of things here and it's just history, but it won't change your heart or soul? It may lead to that, but that alone won't do it. And he says, is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that beget loveth him also that is begotten of him. In other words, if you're truly born again, he said, though that love him that beget them or born them into the family of God will love the others that God borns into the family of God. A good sign that we're saved. And he goes on, he said, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God. Why? Because we keep his commandments. That is, we try to practice them. We don't keep his commandment for life. We practice it because God instructs us. He'll help us be able to enforce them. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And notice his commandments are not grievous to us. When you hear somebody talking about striving towards keeping something like this, God's word, and they say it's grievous, God says it won't be grievous if you practice what I say practice. If you do it, it won't be grievous. That's what John has said. Then verse 4, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not hath made him a liar because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who denies anything about Jesus Christ that is biblical calls God a liar. They don't have to say, God, you're lying. Just the fact that they deny what God has said about his Son. And this is the record. He said that God had given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, he says. And verse 13 said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Four facts about salvation. Now, the introduction will be long, and the facts will be short. How about that? First of all, I have to understand, there are five chapters in 1 John. There are about 105 verses. The word truth and know is found some 36 times in John's writing. So he wants us to understand there is a truth and you can know it. God will give it to us if we'll be open-eyed and believe the record that God has of his Son. The Gospel of John was written to those that read it, that they should believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Matthew presents him as king. Mark presents him as servant. Luke presents him as the Son of Man. And John presents him as the Son of God. All through the Gospel of John, he's revealing, the Holy Spirit is revealing that this man, Jesus Christ, is the absolute Son of God. Not only from heaven, but from what he did on this earth and what the others said about him at that time. The results of that belief would bring to them life if they listened to it. In John chapter 20, verse 31, please turn there just if you find it, not write it down and find it later. 31, John 20, it says about Christ, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. This is after we see he had that in the thing with Thomas. He said, but these things are written. Watch it now. These things. You got it in your hand right there. These things are written, especially the Gospel of John, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing ye might have life through his name. Now that tells me why the Gospel of John is written and the rest of the books that we find. And then 1 John, on the other hand, though, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John was written so that those who believe in Christ might have the means to find assurance of possessing eternal life so that they can manifest it to a world and let them see beyond this life spiritually into that, beyond the veil, into that spiritual world, what God is doing. In the Gospel of John, we have the unveiling of eternal life in Jesus Christ. This life is placed at the disposal of men and women who trust Christ as Savior. The disposal is, this is the distribution or the placement or the transferring of something or disposing it. That is, God has given us the record, and he wants us literally to distribute it. Get it out, amen. My tongue's not working right this morning. He wants us to put it in placement of people's heart. He wants us literally to transfer it in a language as God has given us his book, his word in our language so they can understand it. So when they face it, they either would accept it and believe it, or dispose it as being nothing and trump it on the blood of Jesus Christ. And God says, if they accept it and believe it, they're my children. If they dispose it and trump it on the blood of Christ, I'll tell you where they're going to hell and to the lake of fire. Amen. The facts are so simple. The life is placed at the disposals of men. I'm amazed that God would do that through the veil from heat on the other side and bring it through the veil to this earth of matter and give it in our disposal to get it out to this world. He says, I'll bless that. Now, the Holy Spirit does it, but we're the vessel that he does it through. Again, the theme of John's gospel is eternal life as revealed in God's Son. 1st and 2nd, 3rd John's theme is also eternal life seen manifested in the children of God. In other words, if you read these three epistles, you find that God is saying, take that eternal life that we find in Jesus Christ where he wrote at the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John, take that and manifest it to this world that we are children of God. In other words, this is the family epistle. John is writing to the family of God. Father is used 13 times. Little children is used 11 times. Now, Paul wrote to the church as a whole. But here we find John wrote to the family. Church is our position in the body of Jesus Christ. That's our position. When you and I trusted Christ, spiritually he baptized, he emerged us into his body as a child of God. But when you come down to the family is a relationship which can be affected by how we live, obey, or disobey our Heavenly Father. And that's what he's telling us in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. He's telling us how we can be children. And watch out, there's things he's coming to sidetrack us and cause us to miss out on the blessings of God. All of John's writings set forth life according to the will and purpose of God. Here, why we need it and how we can get it. First, second, third John teaches us what eternal life is in the experience of our lives. How we can know we got it. John tells us in gospel how we can get it. He's telling us now how we can know we've got it and therefore be sure of it. And the thing about it is, many times people mess up. Some people don't think they can keep it, they've got it and can lose it, and others think you can't lose it but don't really know whether they got it or not. So it's a big mess sometimes when you look at it. He enables us to test our lives to see if we have eternal life in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. It is a test to put out that we may look at ourselves. Again, how many in here remember having chicken pox? Boy, I remember it. I'm telling you that. I was about somewhere between 5, 6, 7 years old at the time. How many of you here remember having mumps? I had everybody everything, I think. It must have run in our family. How many of you here remember having whooping cough? Hey, you didn't have to think if you had it. Man, you knew you had it. And by the way, whooping cough is probably the worst of all of them. Mumps are bad. Well, all of them are bad. I just flash back and see them. They're all bad. But the thing about this is, what he's showing us, ladies and gentlemen, you can know that you're saved. If you get in 1 John and look for 2nd, 3rd John, you can know you're saved if you listen to what God has to say, but you got to be saved first before you get in it, because it won't make sense if you don't. And again, 1 John seems to show a development of schism within the Christian community, which led to this writing. He writes to meet the first heresy which had entered into the church. As a matter of fact, some had separated themselves from others and set up their own community at this particular time. They denied that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. Look in chapter 2, verse 22. He said, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ?" Talking about 1 John now, chapter 2, verse 22. He is an antichrist, one who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Is an antichrist. By the way, that's the saying today. Do you hear what I said? To deny that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, Son of God, is antichrist. Amen. He's just like the antichrist at the end of the age. He refuses to accept what God has set forth in his word. He is antichrist that denied the Father and the Son. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a powerful verse. You denied Christ and you denied the Father. Boy, this world won't take that, though. Hey, you need to be more tolerant than that. I'm sorry. We're going to have to come to the conclusion and say what the apostles. We're going to obey God rather than men. If not, ladies and gentlemen, we might as well close the door. If we're not going to obey God, we might as well close the door and join the crowd. Amen. Ride the plank of whatever it is, wherever they're going. Notice he said, verse 23, "Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father." Wow! Does your Bible say that?
Yes, amen.
Thank you, brother. What does it say? It said simply, "Whosoever denieth the Son hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also." They're known to deny that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. They denied that Christ came in the flesh. Look in chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. He says, "And hereby know ye that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is the same spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard, and that it should come, and even now in 90 AD, right now when this was written, he said, it is already in the world." They deny the authority of Jesus' command. Look in chapter 2 and verse 4. "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandment, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him." If there's not a practice to try to be what God wants us to be and obey in him, he said, that's a sign of a liar. He goes on. He denies Christ in the flesh, denies the authority of Jesus' command. Again, as you look in chapter 4, we looked at that. He denies Christ. He denies the salvation through Christ's word. Look in chapter 2, verse 2. He says, "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Jesus Christ died for the whole world, folks, potentially. people can be saved. He denied the believers' love one for another. Look in chapter 2, verse 9. He that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. He that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is none occasion of stumbling him. He said, but he that hateth his brother is a darkness and walk in darkness and knoweth not whether he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. I'm saying again and again, John returns to the primary confession that Jesus is the Christ who came to in this flesh to overcome the world. He is God and eternal life. Look in 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us eternal understanding. We know that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Ladies and gentlemen, people call us not intolerant. Let me tell you something. We're just quoting Bible truth. Four facts about salvation. Salvation is free, but stewardship will cost to get the word out. Simple facts about salvation. Number one is simple this. According to 1 John 5:1, everyone needs salvation. Everyone, every person born through the flesh of man needs salvation. John 1:8 is where we all start at. Whosoever, 1 John 1:8, go back over there just a minute. He said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is in us. It's not in us. Now, he's saying there for himself, including himself, even if the child of God says there's no sin, they said, we deceive ourselves, truth not in us. If that be the case, you know the unsaved are deceived, if they say that. In Psalm 51, in verse 8, the psalmist David said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. In sin, she conceived me. All are born with the nature of Adam. Romans 3:23, all sin, he comes short of the glory of God. We come into this world with our fists clenched as if to say, as a little baby, it's mine. Even baby, sometimes you see when they come in there, got their fist clenched up. No child automatically says, yes, ma'am, yeah, no, ma'am, no, sir, yes, sir. No child. Some of these I've said many times before. No one shares with others' children. I don't know. I don't care how good your child is. I don't know how good my child is. They will not share everything with others. Don't believe it? Give them 100 toys and put them in a room and let one child come in and pick one toy up and see which one that one wants it. What does that? It's a nature. They didn't even realize, but it's a selfish nature. Those things have to be taught. And then when you have to teach something, it's not their nature. Anything you have to teach is not part of your nature. Nature is reference to birth and what man is by birth. You do not teach a child to be selfish. They have to be taught to share, to say thank you. Why? Because those little things have the nature of Adam. It's fallen. And they will practice it even more one day, even though you may say, well, that's cute now. A lot of things that's cute now won't be cute when they get older. And God is letting us know why it's important. He said to Israel, you teach in your house. You put those phylacteries on your doorposts and you put them on your garments and your head and so forth. And there's certain things you have to teach them as they come up. Now, it breaks your heart when you do and they kick out of the race. But God has promised if you'll do that when they get old, he'll bring them back. If he had to jerk them in sometime, he'll do it. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, young folks, the same thing here. You are not greater than God. God understands when he needs to move, and when he moves, you'll know it, and when he moves, he'll do what's necessary. In fact, he can do things a mother and dad can never do. Because he knows the heart. When he does, it'll be right at that time. All are born, again, with this sin nature. A child, when he's growing up, he has to be taught. I read where a mother was talking about, she took her child into a store to get something, and went to check out. Little Billy was 5 years old, and she was trying to teach her child courtesy of saying thank you and so forth. And the clerk saw little Billy and just fell in love with him and said, here, little Billy, I want to give you something, give him a piece of candy. And he got that piece of candy, opened up, put it in his mouth. He was eating it. Mother said, now, Billy, what are you supposed to say? He said,
charge it. That's all they know, unless we teach them. Amen. Some of you miss that, I reckon. Amen. Or maybe some of them have already done that for you. I don't know. But what I'm saying to you is, when you, these things, Psalm 58:3, the psalmist said that he came forth speaking lies from his mother's womb. So much, I don't believe that. He can't even talk. Oh, yes, he can't talk, but he can act. You say, what? I don't remember when I, my first, second, third year in age. I remember a little bit in the third, three-year-old. But because I can't remember don't mean I won't lie. Amen? Same to you. But I'll tell you this. You and I both and our children have lied to us before they could talk. And they do it because of the nature. I'll give you an example, Vincent. You get your first child. And about 4 or 5 days goes by, and suddenly, right at midnight or 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning, you begin to hear this blood-curdling, spine-tingling scream in the middle of the night. And it wakes you up, and you turn to your wife and say, go look after your child. She said, what do you mean, your child? It's both our children. And next thing, you never have a, you know, well, you get up and you go in there, and when you go in and you begin to rub his back and pat him a little bit, and he hushes right up. And you do a little bit, and you say, come back. You turn around and walk away, and there it goes again. You come back, and you rub him again, and he hushes right up. You know he's been fed. He's not hungry. You look at him, you don't see nothing wrong with him. He hushes right up. You start to leave, and you get to the door, and there it goes again. You come back. He's lying. He says, I can't get up, and nobody else is going to sleep in this house. Do I do? Amen. What I'm saying to you, he don't know but what he's doing. He knows that something is, he's got your attention. Even though he can't think, he likes that touch. He likes those things. And not a mother in here or dad don't remember sometimes when you knew your child won't hurt him, but you had to rock him in. That's that nature we're talking about. He couldn't spell lie. He couldn't say lie. He could not even, hey. But he was lying. He knew somehow or another before he could ever talk, he wanted that touch. He wanted that help. Nothing wrong, just attention. Did you know that? And we love them so much, we give them our attention even more than they deserve sometimes. You know that? I hope you do. I hope you do. Amen? There's not a one of us. Now think about this. Everyone needs to be saved because we have the nature of Adam and fallen. Many of us have heard this, and I've used this many years ago, but it fits in this time of this message to understand how that nature works. You hear a clash in the kitchen. It sounds like something has just ripped all to pieces. You go in there and you look, and there's that little boy or girl standing at the table, maybe 4 or 5 years old. He didn't fall off the chair when he got up there, but he's standing at the table now. And you look at him, and jelly is everywhere. All of his hands, his mouth, his hair, on the table, on the floor, on the chair. You look at it, and you look at him, and you say to him, have you been in that jelly jar? And he says, no, ma'am. And then you ask the question like this. You say to him, well, what is that on your face? What is that on your hands? What is that all over the floor, all over the table? And he looks at his hands again, and he looks at his feet, and he looks at the table, and he looks at the chair, and he looks up with that quivering voice and says, me don't know. And what I was been there. They grow up to lie and don't even know why. They're innocent. They don't even know why. I'm glad the blood of Christ takes care of it at that age. They don't have to worry about that. I believe the blood of Christ takes care of them in that innocent age. They grow up, though, to lie. You have to teach them not to lie. Why do they do that? Sin is in the inside pulling them the wrong direction in the sin nature. The choice and the practice all will fall in line, even when they're innocent. Not only do we need to be saved due to our sin nature,
We all sin. Romans 3:23. In this life, sin does not die within the believer. The believer dies to sin. That's what Paul says. Sin doesn't die in us, but God helps us to die to sin. That means we put it down. We mortify it. We put it in place so it doesn't affect us as we go through life. Romans 6, verse 12. I want to read that to you. If you get a chance to look at it later, do that, or look now if you can turn fast enough. In Romans 6, verse 12, the Bible, Paul said, let not sin therefore ring in your mortal body. The word ring is important there. Let it not ring in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. There is a difference between sin being in us against our will. And ladies and gentlemen, and sin ringing in us with our permission. Did you say, hear what I said? There's a difference when sin is in us against our will, and we have to fight it and put it in its place. But it's a different thing when sin is in us and it has permission to be there, and that's what Paul said. He said, don't let sin therefore ring, because if it's ringing in your life and you're saved, you're letting it ring there. You give it permission to, for some reason or another. And he said, no, don't do just that, you see. So do I. I would do the same thing in my life. You know, the sin does not make the sinner. The sinner is the one who makes the sin. A dog is not a dog because he barks. He barks because he's a dog. And all dogs' barks are not the same. So all sinners' sins are not the same. But where a dog, where he says, ooh, ooh, ee, ee, ah, ah, it don't matter how he barks. He's still a dog. You're not a cat. You're not a monkey. By the way, though he barks different ways, he's still a dog. And there may be hundreds of sins that different people do, but they do it because they're sinners. All of them are sinners. All need to be saved. Quickly, the other three. Everyone needs to be saved. Secondly, if everyone needs to be saved, what a joy it is to say that they can be saved. Because in 1 John again, chapter 5, watch, he said, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's a wonderful thought. The whole world is a potential for salvation. But no one is actually saved until he trusted Christ. It's interesting to me when we think about this thing of being saved. It's interesting to me when we look at Jesus Christ, and we say, well, I believe in Jesus Christ, but is he something or someone that you would trust your soul with? Grace offers salvation to this world, but faith in Christ gives it to us personally. Grace offers it to the whole world, but faith in Christ gives it to us personally. Death of Jesus Christ on the cross is sufficient for all, but is efficient only to those who believe, since God is immutable. His payment of sin never changes. Someone say, well, maybe it's different today. To pay for sin today would be different. Did you say, no? No, with God, it never changes. If there's been any other way to pay for it, he'd have done it. That's the only way he could have paid for sin, and he paid it in full at that particular time. Again, all of our sins were laid on him. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, 1 John chapter 1, verse 12, to him is received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. So everyone needs to be saved. Everyone can be saved. Number three is this. So if everyone needs to be saved and everybody can be saved potentially, then there's only one way that you can be saved. All of those need to be saved. There's only one way they can be saved. And again, it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word believe is found some 90 times in John's gospel. John 3:36 divides the world up into two groups. We read that a number of times, and of course I want to read it to you again, where he sets it this way. He says simply, he that believeth the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's the way God gives us this information. Believe means to trust. Believe means to depend upon. Believe means to rely on. Someone say, well, now, preacher, now, here's how I see it. And we heard this before, and you've heard this before, and I put it here for this reason, in case someone hadn't heard it. Well, here's how I see it. You know, heaven's kind of like Raleigh.
You can go to Raleigh and go three or four different ways, or 10 different ways, just depending on the way you're going. But we're not going to Raleigh. We're going to heaven. And there's only one way to heaven. And that's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Folks, when we die, we're going to heaven. Or if the rapture takes place, we're going to heaven. There's only one formula for salvation, and that's in Jesus Christ. Just like there's only one formula for water, H2O, and anything else that you may face, there's one formula for it. All need to be saved. And when you say that, everyone can potentially be saved that trust Christ. And when we say that, then we set forth that you are saved the same way. Now, here's the thing. They need to be saved, potentially can be saved, and they're saved the same way. Now, for those who are saved, they can know it. And that's what 1 John is telling us as you look down about verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. John says you can know this. Know is used several times in 1 John. You can know some things. When you cannot trust your feelings, you can trust God's word. Well, that's helped me for 51 years. Because there have been some times and places I didn't feel so safe. But I went back to God's word and read it again and come to God and asked him to forgive me for my sin. And sometimes he may ask us a question. He didn't because he don't have the answer. He asked Adam, "Where art thou?" He didn't know. He didn't because he didn't know where he was at. He asked Cain, "What's happened to your brother?" He didn't ask that because he didn't know. You know why God does that? He gives us a space to repent. He's good enough to say, for those who know the answer, "I'm giving you this space, son, so you can set it straight. All you got to do is put it under the blood of Christ and it's over with." But what good is it for me to tell you where he's at if I can't get you to say it so you'll repent of it? He gives us that space, a time in there to make things right when things are wrong. When he comes to our heart, it does not say, notice again, it does not say here in this verse 13, these feelings, it does not say these memories, it does not say even these works, these things, what are things? Facts. God said, "I give you these facts. If you'll listen to them and believe them, the Holy Spirit will work in your and my heart." You see, ladies and gentlemen, please hear this. Believing that Christ came and died is history. Please hear this. But believing that he came and died for you is salvation. So like, "I believe he came and died," but you believe he came and died for you. Now, most of us in here say, "But I believe times there's things like," see, we're trying to reach the world for Christ. There may be many who may listen afterwards, not saying, may be on stream, may not be saved. You have to preach an evangelistic message like this sometimes, even if it's born to Christians. Because that's why we're here. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not here to rattle and come here in these walls and enjoy just this life and go back in the world. We're here to let us, God help us to grow, to reach this world for Christ. That's our mission God has given us. So believing that Christ died is history. A lot of folks believe that. In fact, the History Channel even believes that. But you've got to believe that he died for you for salvation. So everyone needs to be saved because of the sin nature, because of the practice of sin. Everyone can be saved because grace offers salvation to the world, but at the same time, faith in Christ gives it to us personally. Everyone is saved some way, and everyone who is saved can know they're saved if they'll listen and believe the work that God gave us the word. So the question is this, to leave with us as we close, is simply this. First, do you have eternal life? And then if we can say, yes, we do, are we manifesting that life to others? Is God working in us and manifesting that life to others? One way a lady said to a pastor one day, she said, "I'm afraid that God will never accept me." And the preacher said to her, "You're right. God will never accept you." And it made her mad. He said, "What, you mean you agree with me that God will not accept me?" He said, "Listen to me." He said, "He'll never accept you or me as we are." Now, you can come as you are. Everyone can come as they are. But he'll not accept you as they are, as you are, and as we are. He has accepted us in the Beloved, which is Christ. And to prove that, if you go read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, it simply tells us when we trust Him as our Savior, He will make us acceptable. He will make us acceptable in Christ, who is the Beloved. Who is the Beloved? Mark 1, verse 11 says this, "And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my Beloved Son, in whom I will I am well pleased. What I'm saying to you is we can come as we are, but He does not accept us in His family as we are. There has to be a transformation. There has to be a new birth taking place. And then we're not accepted as we are. We come as we are, thank God, but we're accepted in the Beloved. We're accepted in the Son of God. God sees us through the veil in the blood that was shed so that we can know that we're His children. He doesn't see us like we are. We come as we are, and then He makes us to be something that He can bring to heaven with Him through the new birth. Ladies and gentlemen, what a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing that the sin is paid for. And God imputed to us righteousness and took our sin away. What a blessed thing to see. We ought to be manifesting who is. Four Bible facts about salvation. Everyone needs to be saved. Everyone can be saved. Everyone has to be saved the same. God's not got one plan of salvation for last century and one this. He's not got one for the first century. He's not got one for Africa and America. It's the same plan. And the fact that you and I are saved, God says, I want you to know it. And that's what 1 John's about. I want you to know it. And here, if you believe the record that I give of my Son, then you will be a child of God. Father, I've tried my best to break it as simple as I know how. Lord, this is about as simple as I can make it, I guess, from my peanut mind. I know this is the message for the day. I know that we need to hear it who are saved because we forget sometimes in our busy life why we're here. Lord, there won't no one ever be able to say who heard this message when they stand before the Lord. Lord, I didn't know I need to witness. I didn't know I need to be a vessel for you to use to reach people for Christ because we are. It's the first thing on our itinerary as far as life is concerned until you call us home. Grant you, it's getting harder now. Lord, whoever ever thought that we'd have a harder time to witness in Clayton overall, as some people do, have it easier in Russia or Africa than to do here in Clayton, North Carolina. Making laws every way possible to keep you from going in door to door. They call it soliciting. We have nothing to sell. God has something to give, but yet they throw us in the same category. And Lord, it's getting harder to go into errors without facing arrest or something in turn that we say we broke the law. It amazes me that people who really break the law get away with it. And then they make a law to stop the cause of Christ, and God's people have a hard time obeying the one who saved us. But I pray you'd give us that freedom. And as long as we have that freedom, as we have in our church and many places now, we would use it wisely to present Christ. The Lord, you manifest yourself to us. Please help us to manifest in our lives the practice. John shows us that Jesus is the Son of God. He's the only way. He said in John 14, 6, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man come to the Father but by me. And then in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, he's showing us in depth the family, how we shall love each other, collected together, encourage each other to be the vessel to manifest of this world in our practice, in our life, who Jesus Christ is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.